Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I want to bring you some nuggets of truth from Thessalonians. The first letter of Paul to the Thessalonian church is an important one for us to consider, but toward the end of what he is saying, he comes to this place in chapter 5 and 23, and the 23rd verse reads this way, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly," meaning fully, completely, "and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." Christian, let me say this to you in flat words that you'll thoroughly understand, I hope. He is talking of the God of peace that will sanctify you, and he is talking about your spirit, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved. Now, these three things need to be understood. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. And he starts with the spirit. The spirit of the man is what leaves a man when he dies. His soul is nowhere to go because the spirit has left him. The soul then enters into the spirit, and the spirit becomes the vehicle in eternity for the traveling through eternity. The soul is what Christ died to cleanse and keep holy, and it is the soul that inherits eternity. And we need to understand some of these things a little clearer, perhaps. And then, may your body be preserved blameless. Now, the spirit, the soul, and the body must be blameless. I don't know how you control your body, but do you have discipline in the things that you allow your body to be involved in? And that's from the top of your head to the base of your feet. Let's understand, is to be preserved blameless. The Lord Jesus is the one that keeps us from falling. The Lord Jesus is the one that holds us tightly. Even when we fall, he picks us up. We know all this, but what happens to your body? And you know, you can walk around with a holy-sounding frame of mind and speak wonderful words, even graceful words, and yet there is sin in the soul, in the spirit. And we need to be careful that we deal with that so that when we stand before the Lord Jesus, we need to have a cleansed soul, blameless soul. We haven't reached the place where we are making pretense of being something when we are nothing. Then I would ask you to consider this. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, completely. Now, you may have peace of heart as far as your spirit is concerned, but what is the peace of your mind concerned? Body, soul, spirit. What's happening to your mind, and how does your mind work behind the scenes of a big smile and the carrying of a nice Bible, going to church and regular attendance? What else is going on in your life? Start examining that. Do you look across the aisle at the people on the other side of the church and you think, that's old Mr. So-and-so and he is a so-and-so. That's Mrs. Such-and-such and she's a nuisance. She's a gossip. Do you sit and think like that, or do you sit and say, what is the Holy Spirit going to teach me today? What is the Holy Spirit going to fill me with today? How am I going to be filled up with the Spirit of Christ now while I sit here in church? How do you sit in church? So I want to share a few things about this expression that the Lord Jesus, through the Apostle Paul and the writing of this little letter, has recorded for us, the very God of peace. If you don't understand God of peace, you don't understand God, period. All these wars and rumors of wars and all these dreadful things that go on in our country and the countries around the world, and all the spitefulness and the wretchedness and the lying and cheating that is going on has nothing to do with God. I want you to understand that peace was preached in the time of Jesus, and he preached it, and it was through the foolishness of preaching. The revelation comes of the deepest meaning in life. You see, the Lord Jesus preached peace. And he said, "Peace be unto you. Don't get into a great big tiz-wars because I'm standing here in front of you. I'm resurrected. I've come back from the dead. And peace be in your hearts. Peace be in your spirit. Peace be with you." They trembled at the sight of Jesus. He said, "Peace, let your body be at peace." So we have the triune God has put in us this trinity of qualities. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. And we need to guard those three and keep them, knowing that Jesus, the Lord Jesus, gives us peace. The peace of God comes to us, and Jesus brought it to us. Look at Ephesians 2:17. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul says, "And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off." People that had distanced themselves from God for whatever reason and were living a life independent of God, again, for whatever reason, these people had peace preached to them, and the preaching of the word of God became powerful, mighty, and it changed their lives completely, and they were born again. They had new lives, and their body, their soul, their spirit obeyed the teaching of the word of peace. Now, in the beginning of the life of Jesus, we see something that was quite remarkable. Ezekiel said in, I think, the 28th chapter that he was sitting and he watched the Spirit of God come out of the temple and go up into heaven. And he said, "The glory of God departed Israel." And he was mighty sad. It first went to the clouds and then it went up into heaven. And there were 400 years before the glory was ever revealed again. It was revealed when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and the angel said, "Peace be unto you." In later years, historically, in the generation that we're into today, we like to think that Jesus and God are the God of peace. And yet Jesus said, "Don't believe that. Don't think I've come to bring you peace. I'm bringing to you a sword, and it will divide the soul and the spirit." And when I read that, I am amazed at the quality that Jesus is talking about. He is saying the glory of God is revealed in the birth of his Son, who is God incarnate, but the glory of God has been shut off and has been turned away by man and rejected by men. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came into this place where the glory of God should be shining, and right now in our country it should be brilliant. Instead, the very reverse is happening. We're denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice that God is the God of peace, and we're teaching that God is the God of peace. So when you hear someone say that we must kill all the people that offend us, and you hear people saying we must get rid of Christians or get rid of some other group, you must understand that expression and that attitude does not belong to God. In fact, it is very far from God. That's not his intention. That's not his desire. And that is not the expression of his grace. His expression of grace is peace. be unto you in your body, in your spirit, in your soul. Peace, quiet, peace. The disciples were thoroughly distressed. Jesus was in the boat with them. They were rowing across the Sea of Galilee, and a great storm came up, and Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat, and the water was coming in, and it was threatening to fill the boat and to sink it. And they rushed to the back of the boat, and they said to Jesus, "Master, carest thou not? We perish." And he said, "Ye have little faith." They had Jesus with them. They couldn't perish. Jesus wasn't going to die then. Jesus could only die at the appointed time, just as you can only die at God's appointed time. The Lord Jesus stood up in the boat. This is an incredible thing. These waves were overflowing the boat and coming in, and Jesus stood up in the boat, and he said, "Peace, be still." He was speaking to the wind and the waves, and he said, "Peace, stop blowing. Stop being so destructive. Stop doing what you're doing. It's unnecessary. Peace. Shush, shush." And then he said to the waves, "Be still." And suddenly the boat was in a calm, and they rowed to the shore. Just as suddenly they were at the shore, and they were amazed. And they looked and said, "Who is this that can rule the wind and the waves?" "It is Jesus." I have no idea of what calamities are in your life. I have no idea which winds of doctrine are shaking up the very values of your life. I have no concept. I can't. But I know this, I can tell you with all authority from the Word of God, that when everything seems wrong and everything seems topsy-turvy and inside out and upside down, when everything in your life is sort of thrown on the beach and the sun is beating down upon you and threatening to fry you, when dreadful things happen in your family and terrifying things happen in your life, I've got news, great news. Jesus is a prayer away. Jesus will help you, and he will bring you peace, and he will breathe peace into your soul. Well, we read in Acts 10 and verse 36 how it was that peace was preached through the Lord Jesus Christ. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. I don't know what you're doing with your life, but let me ask you a couple of questions and let me give you a couple of answers. If your life is rocked to and fro by all sorts of dreadful things that seem to be happening, a death may be coming. It may be that some deep concern is happening between you and your children or you and your parents. It could be a myriad of things. Jobs are short and yet people are working, and you've got a job but it isn't what you really want and all that sort of thing. And you're at school and you're struggling and you're just about to graduate, or you have just graduated. Where is the job that will fit the graduation and the qualifications you've gained at school? And so it is. It goes on and on and on. It could be any one of these things that rings alarm bells in your soul. Anything that rings an alarm bell in your soul is to be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ and allow him to preach the word of God. So it is the gospel of peace. Our gospel is the gospel of peace. It doesn't threaten people with hell. And yet we know that hell is there. We know that the person who is not loving the Lord Jesus and hasn't repented and believed the gospel is a candidate for hell, and he will live eternity separated from God. We also know that the man, woman who is facing all sorts of contentious things in this world may be able to turn to God in the next world and know that peace floods his heart here and there. And it is the same peace. It is the peace of the Lord Jesus that is preached unto you. Notice it is preached by the ministers of the gospel. in Romans, we read of the beautiful feet. I think a moment ago I said Acts of the Apostles 36, the word which God sent, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, was what I was talking about. Now, I would like to talk about how beautiful are the feet of them that preach this gospel, for their footsteps are to be listened for they walk with God. The second thing is, their protection is prayed for. They are in step with God. And the third thing is this, their covering is provided for. They attend in Christ. Let's look at those three things. They walk with God. No minister of the gospel should be standing in the pulpit if he's not walking with God. He should excuse himself and get down. Let somebody who is walking with God take his place. And it's incredible to me how the criticisms of people are so alarming and so fictitious and so wrong that we lean to the majority rule. Instead of saying, no, this man came here to be our minister of the gospel, he speaks the gospel, and we have to conform to that gospel, instead of listening to the minister of the gospel to find out what the Lord God is saying, because this man literally walks with God. And I know that there's a thousand things you can say against what I've just said. Then the second thing I would point out to you, that the people that bring the gospel of peace are those that are in step with God. A friend of mine travels literally the world to rescue missionaries that get into some sort of trouble with maybe the officials of the nation in which they are living, or amongst themselves. Sometimes missionaries just can't agree to disagree, and they can't agree with what God demands and concerns and instructs them to do and be and go and all that sort of thing. So there's a great deal of discouragement, and sometimes it feels in the ministry, whether you're a missionary or a minister of the gospel in this country, there are times in the ministry of the word of God when you feel so alone, like Elijah and Elisha and Ezekiel and Jeremiah felt very severely. You feel so alone because nobody seems to be with you. Nobody's listening to you. Nobody's doing what you say we ought to be doing. Nobody's saying, well, what does God say? They say, this is what I want to do. This is the way we're going to do it. Instead of saying, well, what does God want us to do? And which way does God want us to do it? We don't do that. We get ourselves into a bit of a tiz-was once in a while, and we make very bad decisions as churches simply because we won't listen to the men that are in step with God. And then how beautiful are the feet of these people? They attend in Christ. They're available to the Lord Jesus. And they are very concerned that the Lord Jesus is presented to the people all around and all about. And the Lord Jesus is blessed in their hearts and in the hearts of others. So they attend him. We look at another thing. There is the substance of the word of peace. Christ is the Lord of peace. If you go to 2 Thessalonians and 3:16, you will read these words, the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. Now, the apostle is expanding this tremendously, and he is saying, let the God of peace be the one that breathes into you by every manner he possibly can peace. Sometimes our wives or our husbands or sometimes our children, they rebel or they misunderstand or they become contentious about some things, and they breathe lack of peace in the relationships. They really can't help it. Something's prompting them or something has gotten under their skin and they need to get it out, and so peace vanishes from a family. Peace vanishes from a friendship and a valuable fellowship. We don't want that. So the apostle says to the church in Thessalonica in the second epistle and 3:16, He says, He, the Lord of peace himself, will give you peace always by all means. In other words, the practical things of life will work out. A young man said to me, I didn't know if I should take this job. Now, this is in a time when jobs are so scarce in engineering, for instance. And he said, well, I didn't know if I should change jobs. I didn't know if I should take this job that was offered to me. And the people had waited almost a year for him to make up his mind that he would move in there and be one of the leaders in their company. And yet he was hesitating, saying yes. It wasn't a case of loyalty to the company that he was with. It was a case of he wasn't sure that God said. And so his prayer was something like this. Lord, would you please let these people, after 2 months of silence, talk to me. That very day, the representative from the company phoned him and said, we're waiting for you to come here. We've a house we'll loan you, rent free. Come here, bring your family and start work. Please come. Well, now he had the confirmation of his prayer. He had the leading of the Holy Spirit. And he had, guess what? Peace. All the turmoil of the last year was thrown away. He didn't have to spend that whole year fussing in his soul. And it was gone. So now he had a new way of following the Lord. And he went to the job. Apparently, all things are well. Notice Christ is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah says in 9:6, they shall call his name the Prince of Peace. In the midst of squalor and degradation, he prayed for them. Jesus prays for you. He asks God, because God is not willing that any should perish. He is asking God for the souls of men and women. And he went to the cross seeking the souls of men and women. This day, he said to the thief on the cross, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Stop worrying. Yes, your body will hurt. Yes, your body will be in excruciating pain. But this day you will be with me in paradise. When this horrific thing is over, you'll be with me. And that is an amazing statement. Just a statement that makes you think in so many different ways at different areas of life. He says, I will be with you and I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will not divorce you. I will always attend you. I will always be near you. I will always keep you. Then notice how it is that Jesus, being the Prince of Peace, in the midst of all the squalor and degradation that is going on, he is praying for us. Look at Ephesians 2:14. For he is our peace. To put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ when the world puts their trust in the politics of the day or in some leader, some body that is no more than a puppet, just trust the Lord Jesus and come to this dear Lord Jesus Christ and trust him, even though the way doesn't seem obvious, even though there seems to be a brick wall, trust him. You may walk through that wall. You may get through that darkness. You may get out the other side, and all will be peace, because he is our peace. Notice that Jesus is our stockpile of peace. In Ephesians 4:3, he says the bond of peace. Jesus was called the pearl that was without price. We need to get rid of everything just to receive him if necessary. Whatever is hindering you from receiving Jesus Christ and his authority and his leading and his love and his grace, why, we need to get rid of those hindrances so that he becomes the pearl of peace in our lives. Is that happening with you? Are you attending your body, your soul, your spirit? Or are you gratifying your body in order to gratify the gasping lusts of your spirit that are damaging your soul? and leading your soul astray. Jesus Christ, the Lord, is also the very rule of peace. In Colossians 3:15, the apostle says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." How many of us have a spirit that is in variance to that? We're jiggled and juggled around and we're all upset about this and that and the other, and we get so tight about things, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in a terrible pickle. And as we get into that pickle, we realize that there is no peace of God in our lives because the peace of God is not ruling our lives. Ask this the next time you want to do something or buy something or go somewhere. Is my going and coming going to reveal the rule of peace of Christ in my heart? And then act. He is the very rule of peace. I must stop, but there's so much to tell you about the peace of God that passeth all understanding, that fadeth not away, but continues with us always. Let's just bow in prayer. Most gracious God, some of us are irritated beyond remembrance and beyond recovery, we feel. And yet we need your peace, and we ask that your peace will flood our souls and hearts, and that we may come into your presence now, knowing that your glory shines because you have brought peace, the peace of God that passes our understanding. Bless everyone listening, Lord, please, in your name. Amen. Hey, thank you for listening. God bless you. Bye-bye.